National Silver Company presents the Silver Theater. Starring Helen Hayes in Crossroads for Two, an original two-part story by Therese Lewis and Hubble Robinson, adapted for Silver Theater by True Boardman and directed by Conrad Nagel. Brought to you in behalf of two of the greatest names in silverware, International Sterling, world-famous solid silver, and 1847 Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Conrad Nagel welcoming you to the final performance of Silver Theater series of dramatic productions until next fall. And tonight, as last week, we are happy to have with us that truly distinguished actress, Helen Hayes. The house lights dim and the silver curtain rises on the concluding episode of Crossroads for Two, starring Helen Hayes as Brenda Mason, with Carlton Young as Stephen Carr and Roberto Bomberg as Brenda's adopted son, Pablo. Our scene, the private office of Lee Barton, Brenda's manager and oldest friend, on a morning in July.
I'm not trying to argue you out of anything, Brenda. I'm all for taking the play on this European tour, and I want you in it to guarantee the investment. Only, why must we rush things so?
I want to keep working, Lee. I don't like not having anything to do.
10 whole days since the show closed, and you're bored already.
Oh, no, that isn't it. I love my days with Pablo, and not having to rush away from him every evening, but, golly, after he goes to bed, then I... Well, I just want to keep working.
Well, no, why don't you be sensible and go over to the farm for a couple of weeks?
Oh, that's no good. It's worse up there. Give me the creek.
Well, you've hardly seen the place since... Well, that is...
Since Steve went away. That's what you were going to say, wasn't it, Lee? Well, why shouldn't you? Why shouldn't you talk about Steve? Pablo and I do often.
Well, I think it's a shame you've let Steve spoil the farm for you.
That's my fault, not his. He made the place so pleasant by being there last spring that now when he isn't, it just doesn't seem as attractive. It isn't any more serious than that.
No. Well, all right, Brendan. I'll do whatever you say.
Then we'll go to London, eat Yorkshire pudding, and maybe even play before the King and Queen.
Excuse me. Yes?
The London call, Mr. Barton. Mr. Corners.
Oh, yes, put him on. Hello?
Mr. Lee Barton?
Yes?
London calling. One moment.
That's Connors, Brenda.
Hello.
Hello, hello, Frank.
Lee, old man, how are you?
Oh, fine, Frank, fine, never better.
Well, it's all set, the whole European tour. Open on London the 20th. What about Brenda?
Well, Brenda's definitely decided. She's right here with me now.
Put her on, will you?
Of course. Brenda.
Hello, Frank.
Brenda, I'm delighted you're coming over. London needs a good play and a good actor.
I bow, Mr. Connors. All the way across the Atlantic, I bow.
I mean it. I say, Brenda, I read about your adopting a child. Can you?
Yes, a war orphan. I'll bring him along.
You sure to do that.
Frank, what about the war situation?
Oh, nothing to worry about. Nothing at all. Everybody's too scared of everybody else over here to make a move.
Well, that checks with what I've been hearing.
As a matter of fact, the situation may stay as it is for years. And then you'll be so old... You have to make your London debut in a character
part. All right, Frank. You want to talk to Lee again?
No need. No details. Goodbye, Brenda. Have a good crossing.
There you are, Lee. In fact, there we both are. Now grab your hat and come along.
Where to?
Today's Pablo's birthday, and he's certainly not going to celebrate it without having his foster uncle on hand.
Oh, but why didn't you tell me?
Because I was afraid you'd go out and buy him something thoroughly impractical. But we'll stop off on the way home and you can get him a nice pair of kicks.
What an extraordinary thought.
I don't see why. What's wrong with silk?
Pero yo no sé cómo se llama ese tipo. Pues no importa. Es maravilloso.
Oh, Barbara.
Hello there.
Mamma mia, señor Lee. Look what I have.
Hey, what in the world?
A Chinese rickshaw.
See, and this is mine for my birthday.
What?
See, Mamma Mia, I shall have tea.
Tea? Is it here?
Oh, no, Miss Mason. This rickshaw was sent to Pablo by Senor Carr from China.
From China? Thieves in China, but how do you know?
There was a note that came with the present, Senorita, from Chongqing.
Thief, it is here. Look, I can read it. To Pablo, for whom this is a great day, from Steve. Oh, and there was something more to him.
Something more?
For you, Mamma Mia. Look, Nandi, too, there is a note.
Yes. For Pablo's mother, to whom this is perhaps an even greater day.
Oh, it's a present for you, Brenda.
You not open it, Mamma?
Yes. Yes, of course. Please.
Oh, it is a little doll.
Some kind of Chinese goddess, isn't it?
Yes. Carved in jade. Oh, Lee, have you ever seen anything so...
Mama, you do not like what the nurse has sent to you?
Oh, yes, Pablo. Of course I like it.
Pablo, don't you want to practice running that rickshaw of yours outside?
Si, come, Mercedes. Oh.
Careful, Pablo. Be careful of the door now.
First I ride you, then it is the first for me.
Bueno.
From now on, I think I will have a first day ever used. A first day I am in favor.
In China. He said he might go there. Sending Pablo a rickshaw, crazy.
Brenda.
Huh?
Are you sure you're being wise about Steve?
Steve gone, Lee. Out of my life and Pablo's.
Well, only because you sent him away.
A pacifist and a militarist sound a very happy combination.
But Brenda...
Steve works at war. The idea of that, the sound of it, offends me. Oh, I know it's natural for him to talk about his job just as it's natural for me to talk about the theater. But I can't have him telling Pablo about his beautiful, shiny, new pursuit things. Pablo's father was killed in one of them. I don't want the same thing to happen to Pablo. I don't want him to know any more about war than he knows already. That's one of the reasons why I took him. To give him a chance to forget it.
Well, I never thought it was the actual fighting that appealed to Steve so much as testing that new plane of his.
But that's even less admirable as I see it. Developing a bigger and better fighting machine that'll kill more men faster. Oh, Steve and I had this all out, Lee. He said we were both like the North and South Poles with a world between us. And he was right. I still know he was right. Hear that?
What?
The airmail flies over twice a day. You can imagine what a help that's been.
I wonder if you're the wisest woman I ever knew, or even more confused than the rest of us.
I wonder, too. If you ever figure it out, you might let me know. Come on, Lee, let's find Pablo. I want to ride in a rickshaw.
Of the distinguished American actress Brenda Mason. In this Miss Mason's first London appearance, she more than justified the high esteem in which she is held by her countrymen.
Lord Paris will agree that one does not need to speak Miss Brenda Mason's language to appreciate the quality of her artistry.
It is to be regretted that Miss Mason and her company ought to appear for so short a time in Rome. It is a good play.
First Spielhaus. Madam Brenda Mason is an American. Nevertheless, she is an actress. Her play should be seen.
Cancelled, Brenda. Nearly every booking left on the tour. Telegrams have been coming in ever since last night. From Prague, Bucharest, Sofia, Warsaw.
Well, what's happened? Maybe after 4 months in Europe, they've suddenly discovered we don't speak their language.
Now, this is no joke, Brenda. Oh. There's something up. All kinds of things are rumored, ultimatums, threats.
Oh, Lee, we've felt that sort of undercurrent ever since we came over.
Yes, but this is different. Even the people in the streets show it. There's a tension in the air. And these cancellations, well, how do you account for them?
I don't know. But it looks as if our brilliant European tour has gone a little sour.
Well, the only place left for us to go at this point is home.
You can take the company back, Lee. But I promised Pablo I'd show him the rest of Europe. And I want to do it while there's still a Europe for him to see.
Brenda, I don't want to leave you here. There may be real danger.
Oh, you go on. And don't worry. I gave Pablo a book the other day about the ancient Greeks. And ever since he's been calling himself Hercules. After all, you can't hire that kind of protection these days.
Balkans. Why do they call them the Balkans, Mamma Mia?
Why, because... Darling, I'm afraid you've got me. I ought to know, but if I ever did, I've forgotten.
We go on to some other country soon.
Oh,
no?
Pablo. There must be a dervish inside of you. Don't you like it here?
Oh, see. It is a nice little country. But there are others I would see.
Oh, Miss Mason.
Mercedes, what on earth?
Get back to Mercedes.
Oh, it has happened. They talk of war. Now it comes. Mercedes, what's happened? Tell me.
The ultimatum. For weeks they have feared of it. Now, early this morning it has come.
The ultimatum.
They're going to fight, no?
Be quiet, Pablo. Wait. Hello. This is Miss Mason. What's this talk about an ultimatum? 3 hours? And what'll happen if... Oh, yes, I see. Thank you. Oh, wait. Will you give me the address of the American consulate? Oh, thanks very much.
What happens, Mama? What is it?
I'm going to find out. You stay here with Mercedes, Pablo. I'll be right back.
A little we can do. Appealed for assistance several hours ago. We sent out a list of the prominent Americans.
Oh, Eric, another telegram, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Of course.
Yes. Just as I expected. Listen, Miss Mason. The Red Impossible send planes, evacuate citizens in immediate crisis. State Department sending warning to powers concerned against endangering American lives. Meanwhile, take all precautions. Good luck. From Paris, my last and strongest hope.
But that means we're caught in here. We can't get out.
I'm afraid so. Government here has declared a state of emergency, closed the frontier, and grounded all the planes.
And no one's going to do anything about it? Why? Do thousands of people have to be killed before the diplomats of the world choose to see that something is wrong?
There's nothing more than I can...
Mr. Carrick, sir, I'm sorry, but this man insisted
Carrick.
On... Steve, come. What are you...
Hello, Brenda. Where's Pablo?
At the hotel with Mercedes, but how did
we'll you... We'll go get them. Mr. Carrick, I'm Steve Carr, and I've just flown in from Paris. I have a plane that will carry 3 more passengers. You pick out the people you want to go and have them at the airport in 15 minutes.
Yes,
come on,
Alex.
Brenda.
Steve, how did you know?
Your activities have a way of getting into newspapers, you know, and they have newspapers in Paris.
But what are you doing in Europe? You were in China.
I sent the plans of my pursuit plane to Washington, and they've been approved. I was on my way home, and... Brenda, what's your hotel?
The Ritz. It's just down the street.
You. Hold on there. You there.
You want me, officer?
Your name is Stephen Carr?
That's right.
You're the pilot of the plane that landed a few moments ago at the National Airport?
I am.
You'll come with me to military headquarters. You're under arrest.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the end of Act One of tonight's Silver Theater story, Crossroads for Two. You know, for many weeks during these brief intermissions, it's been a pleasure and a privilege for me to tell you of the beauty and quality of 1847 Rogers Brothers silver plate. And you know that this extraordinary craftsmanship is not a new development with this distinguished house, but goes back almost a century. For even in the beginning, 1847 Rogers Brothers designs had the fine upswinging grace of Connecticut's own birches, the patient fidelity to detail that characterizes the true artist in silver. And because this loyalty to the highest ideals had endured through the years, the name of 1847 Rogers Brothers today is admittedly the most precious in silver plate. So if you've never owned 1847 Rogers Brothers silver plate, why not see how gloriously beautiful it is by accepting this friendly invitation?
Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, Monday, let your silverware dealer show you a complete service of 1847 Rogers Brothers silver plate in the Lovelace pattern. For this is the exquisite Pierce pattern, whose sterling-like detail is winning praise from women everywhere. A design of wedding ring orange blossom inspiration with graceful tapering lines and beautiful proportions. And you can now get 62 pieces of this thrillingly lovely silver plate for only $59.75. That's a saving of more than $14 over open stock price. Your silverware dealer will be delighted to show it to you and to explain on what easy, convenient payment terms you can own silver plate from the proudest house in America. America's finest silver plate. 1847 Rogers Brothers Silver Plate.
The house lights dim, the silver curtain rises, and here is the concluding act of Crossroads for Two, starring Helen Hayes as Brenda Mason. A nation of Southern Europe besieged. the disaster of attack by land, by air, an impending reality, and in the office of the Commander of Military Affairs.
You may consider yourself at liberty, Mr. Carr. You're fighting for this country with foolhardy at this time, but certainly not a criminal action.
Criminal action? Trying to get your own countrymen out of a war zone.
However, while I can take no action concerning the flight you have made into this country, I can prevent you from leaving it.
But, Commander, you must
realize... Mr. Carr, this country is virtually surrounded by hostile forces. Forces mobilized, ready, and, I think, anxious to move. Yours is a foreign plane of a bombing type.
That's true. A bomber's the only ship I could get on short notice that was big enough.
But it's unmarked. There are the enemy anti-aircraft gunners at our borders. How are they to know the plane is not our own, leaving the capital with a cargo of bombs instead of your countrymen?
We'll take that risk.
But we will not. One shot fired at the border may be the spark to set off the conflagration. Mr. Carr, I'm sorry. You cannot leave the capital. The interview is ended.
Thanks for all your help.
You're welcome.
Good day.
Oh, Steve, what happened? Is it all right?
Sure. Everything's swell.
Then you're not under arrest.
Whatever gave you that idea? The commander just heard I was here and wanted to offer me a job. He's heard about me, my flying for Spain with the Chinese. After all, those things get around.
Steve, why are you lying? Don't you suppose I know this is a mess? Now, come on, tell me the truth. I'm a big girl now.
All right. The truth is we can't leave. They won't let us. Not until the government makes up its mind one way or the other about the ultimatum.
But, Steve, is there a choice?
Sure. They can surrender and receive the so-called protection of their nice, friendly neighbor, or they can fight that same friendly neighbor and be outnumbered 6-1. A swell choice.
But the rest of the world, surely they won't just stand by.
I've got a hunch that the rest of the world is going to be looking the other way when this little grab takes place. They'll be too busy over a peace conference.
You haven't changed, have you, Steve? In fact, nothing's changed. You're still quite convinced that there's no argument like a gun, and the bigger the gun, the stronger the argument.
That's not a bad way to put it. Certainly a couple of million guns would carry a lot of weight in this country right now.
And sanity. There's no place for that, of course. These countries couldn't get together and settle whatever their dispute may be without sacrificing countless lives. You wouldn't approve of that.
Sure I would. If I lived in Utopia, I'd be all for it. But I don't, Brenda. Won't
stop
you realize...
Stop it, Oh, don't you see? It's our old argument all over again. Just as hopeless, just as futile as ever. And how can a fight with you when you come all the way over from Paris to... Steve... It seems our wars have crossed at last. Let's call a truce.
Okay. It's a deal. We'll have lunch together.
All right. But before we do, I'd like to stop at the hotel and see that Pablo and Mercedes are all right.
Of course. And tell them to make for the cellar if there's any sign of trouble.
Oh.
I'll check at the airfield and see that they're not manhandling that plane. We'll meet in the dining room at the Ritz in half an hour.
But, Steve, we're forgetting the ultimatum.
Sure we are. Why not? There isn't anything we can do about that. And if this country ceases to exist at 3 o'clock this afternoon, I want to tell my grandchildren that I spent the last 3 hours of its history having lunch with America's most beautiful and talented actress.
Just for that, I'll buy your lunch. After all, I couldn't disappoint your grandchildren.
How's the farm, Brenda? Does the cow ever moo in my memory? What's her name? Hezekiah?
Hepzibah.
Oh, well, how is the old girl these days?
We didn't get together much after you left. Every time I looked at her, I thought of you.
Brenda, that's one of the nicest things you've ever said to me.
My wife is awful for her. She's in Switzerland. I must get to her. Anne is not well and she'll worry for me.
I'm doing everything I can, Doctor. Believe me.
My Anne is sick for myself.
Oh, Steve, that poor old
don't
man.
Don't think about it. Tell me about the rickshaw, Brenda. Did Pablo like it? Did you like it?
Yes.
Well, don't get carried away.
No. Oh, really? Pablo adored the rickshaw. He wanted to hire it out as a taxi. He said if the Chinese made money that way, why shouldn't he?
How did you handle that one?
I told him he should keep his amateur standing and I'd raise his allowance.
Well.
The other present that came from China was charming, Steve.
Well, that's okay.
It's the loveliest jade figure I've ever seen.
You know who she is?
No.
One of the 8 Chinese immortals. The only woman in the bunch. They call her the Goddess of Mercy.
I see.
And Brenda.
Pardon me, sir. There'll be something else?
No, thanks. But look, waiter.
Yes, sir?
See if you can find out what's happened to the musicians. They're dying on us. Tell them to play up.
Very well, sir. Caroli, play up there. Oh, I fear their heart is not in it, sir. Like everyone else, they're afraid. The other patrons think only of what may happen. They look at maps and listen to the radio reports. But you and the lady, you only laugh. Some of the others, they say to me that you're crazy. But I tell them, no, you're only Americans.
Oh,
I suppose that amounts to about the same thing, doesn't it?
Yes, madam, often I believe so. And now, sir, if you have further needs, one of the other waiters will serve you. I have permission to leave so that I may be home by 3, and I must stop for gas masks for my wife and daughter on the way. Good day, madame.
Thank you, sir.
He thinks of gas masks while you tell me about the Goddess of Mercy. You know, it's a good thing for an actress to see the world, Steve. To find out that things like this can happen to people overnight, just like that. They don't happen that way on the stage. There's always a reason. Where's the reason here?
Greed. Somebody reaching out. Somebody wanting something that doesn't belong to them.
Steve, what time is it?
10:03.
Well, that's silent.
Waiter. Oh, wait.
Yes, sir.
That signal.
A warning, sir, to make for cover.
Does that mean an air raid?
I don't know, madame. No one knows.
Waiter! They probably want the streets clear by 3. That's the case.
Steve, we can't get back to my hotel to Pablo. Come on, there's no little time.
We'll have to walk, Brenda, all the cabs.
I know. We've just done this walk across the square. Steve, all those troops.
Home guard, last line of defense.
But they look like boys.
They are. Their fathers are already at the border.
You can't cross the square. It's been ordered cleared. You'll have to go around.
Listen, will you? We're Americans.
Sorry, sir. I have my orders.
My son is at the hotel. I've got to get to him. Please, officer.
Well, ma'am, I...
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Come on, Steve. Turn his
back. Nice work, Brenda.
Better run, Steve. Run.
Going up. Going up. Let's all full car. Next car, please. All guests are advised to take refuge at once at the hotel bomb shelter. Fourth, please.
Nine, please.
Brenda, your floor.
Four.
Jim's been trying to get through the foreign office all day. But it's been busy, busy, busy.
Oh, if they'd only stop that siren. Why don't they stop? He forgot to pack his heavy sweater. I don't know how to get it to him now.
Last week at this time, we were at the festival. Little did I think that...
Fourth floor.
Mercedes! Pablo!
Pablo!
Please, they're not here. Perhaps...
Miss Mason.
Oh, yes?
At last you were here. Your son and his governess are in the bomb shelter in the cellar.
Oh, thank heaven.
And you, Miss Mason?
Later, but thank you.
Yes.
Brenda, perhaps you'd better go down.
Steve, listen. The siren. It stopped.
Yeah.
Everything's suddenly so quiet. What do you suppose? Steve, it must be nearly...
The time has come, the war has said.
To talk of many things.
Oh, Brenda, it's good. Good to see you.
I'd have been frantic if you hadn't come. Frantic.
I followed your tour in the papers. I kept track of you.
You did?
Yeah.
Pablo, I hope he's all right.
Attention, all citizens. Attention.
Steve, listen.
Yeah. Attention. There's a loudspeaker out there in the square. It must be connected to the government radio.
Come out on the balcony.
Yeah.
All citizens. At 2:35 p.m., your government sent its answer to the ultimatum received this morning. That answer was refusal to surrender your liberty. The hour named is now past, and as yet the troops massed beyond our borders have not marched. However, continued caution is advised.
Maybe I was wrong. I guess the hour hasn't come.
But what now?
Who knows?
6-1, and they're ready to fight. How can they?
They can't. It would be suicide. But these people have been independent for centuries. They want to stay that way.
They've got a lot of heart.
Yes, but what they haven't got is just about 2 million more men to back them up.
Well, that announcement seems to have broken the tension. They're all out on the streets again.
Yeah, and that's not a very smart thing to do. What did I tell you?
Oh, Steve!
Brenda, inside, quick.
Oh! Oh, no, Steve, they can't! They can't! All those people, they've just come out!
You'd better get back in and fast. You too. Come on, Brenda. And don't watch it. Please don't. Now listen to me, Brenda.
Oh, Steve. They didn't have a chance. They're helpless. Oh, look, there's our little waiter from the hotel. He's trying to get away.
Why doesn't he run for
it? Oh, yes, run. Faster. Oh, he'll never make it that
way. Look out!
As if he never was. But he had the gas mask. He had gas masks for his wife and his daughter, and... Oh, do something! Why don't you do something? You can't just stand there!
There's nothing anyone can do now. It's all over. The planes are going back. This is just a sample of what they can expect if they try to resist.
But how can they resist? Look at that square.
They'll give in. There's nothing else to do.
Steve, it could happen anywhere. What we saw out there. It could happen in New York. It could, Steve. It could.
No, no, Brenda. Don't think of New York like that. Think of it as it is, as it must always be. Fifth Avenue on a sunny day. The hurdy-gurdy man. Shoeshine boys. Carriages in front of the plaza.
I want to go back, Steve. I want to go home.
You will. We may even get out tonight, as soon as the other troops march in.
Steve, you've seen all this happen many times?
No, not many. But often enough so that I couldn't forget it. Brenda, do you remember shouting at me a moment ago, telling me to do something?
Oh, yes, it seemed so terrible that no one was.
You got mad. Well, it's always made me mad, too. That's why I've been flying and fighting these last years, working on my plane. You thought I wanted to kill people. Well, I didn't. I only wanted to prevent people being killed. I want peace too, Brenda. But I know the world as it is today. And the only way to be sure of peace in such a world is to make defense so strong that no one dares make war.
I never believed that.
But after today, Brenda, how can you help it? Would this have happened if they'd been able to protect themselves?
I guess you're right, Steve. I'm seeing things as they are, only as I wanted to see them.
You couldn't have, darling. You didn't know. You couldn't.
All along, I thought you were so wrong.
I love you, Brenda. You know that, don't you? Even when we seem farthest apart, I love you.
I do know, Steve. Because nothing was right for me after you went away.
We'll go home together. And this time, I'll stay.
Oh, Steve. If you only knew how long I'd wanted to be like this.
They got the wind from my ears. Where did they come down me? I do that too, Valerie.
Oh, no, Pablo, you must not. Senorita, Pablo thinks he's now a soldier.
So you see, it is you.
Hello, Pablo.
Oh, Pablo, give me that balloon. Give it to me.
Where is my gun? I'm a soldier.
You're not a soldier. You'll never be a soldier, do you hear?
Mamma mia.
But, Brenda, after what we just said, I thought you...
You thought I understood. And I do, Steve, I do. I know we've got to be strong, ready and prepared to fight, if we must fight. But because that's true for us, for our generation... Must it also be true for Pablo and his?
I don't know, Brenda. I'd like to think things might change, but...
They must, Steve. I'll face reality with you from now on. But that doesn't mean I'm going to stop hoping and working for something better. I see now that it's stupid to deny today. But we have tomorrow. It's the only hope there is, Steve. And it's our job to fulfill the promise of a different tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know I'm speaking not only for myself, but for all of you when I say thank you, Helen Hayes, for making our final Silver Theater performance a truly memorable one.
And thank you, everybody. And you especially, Carlton Young and Roberto Bamberg, for your fine support. You were really grand.
Helen, before you go, would you tell us if there's any truth to the rumor that you're going out to California? That couldn't mean a picture, could it?
No. It's for a play Charles MacArthur wrote with Ben Hecht called Ladies and Gentlemen. Herbert Marshall will be in it, too. We'll probably open in San Francisco sometime in July and then bring it here in the fall, if it's a hit.
Well, I know it will be. And after you've settled down for a nice long run, I hope we'll be lucky to have you with us again on Silver Theater.
I'm looking forward to it, Conrad, because I've really enjoyed appearing on these Silver Theater broadcasts. And I've also enjoyed seeing 1847 Rogers Brothers' new Lovelace pattern. It's really beautiful silver plate.
Well, thank you again, Helen, and for your grand show. Good luck to you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, since this is the last Silver Theater broadcast this season, I think I'd like to say a word myself before we ring down that final curtain. Our little company here and in Hollywood has enjoyed bringing these programs to you each Sunday, and we hope that as you think back over them, you'll remember them with real pleasure, and that you, as well as we, will be a little sorry that they're all over for the season. We hope also that you'll remember the two great names that made our Sunday half hours together possible. 1847 Rogers Brothers, creators of America's finest silver plate, and International Sterling, creators of world-famous solid silver. In their behalf, we want to say a sincere thank you. Thank you, our audience, for listening, and you, our cast, who helped to make the Silver Theater program so entertaining. We hope to be back on the air again in the fall. So until we meet again, may we also hope that you remember the words that make silver dreams come true.
If you want solid silver, you want International Sterling. If you want silver plate, you want 1847 Rogers Brothers, both proudly created by International Silver Company. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.